It's the key to life. It makes it possible for us to get out the door, challenge ourselves, and find joy. There are few things more important than our health. Throughout history, there have been breakthroughs in health technology that have made our lives longer, more vibrant, more joyful. Breakthroughs that have fundamentally changed how we think, learn, and live.
This is where the future lies, and this is why redox chemistry and supplements that employ this are so powerful.
They literally turn on and turn off, signal every single process in every living cell. And to be able to stabilize a product that allows us to replenish that is just a phenomenal breakthrough.
This has the capability to change the landscape of the healthcare system as we know it.
What if one of the biggest breakthroughs in health technology was actually something small? A breakthrough technology that works at the cellular level, where health begins.
This truly is a transformational technology.
It's an elegant and very simple product that's having a profound impact.
When people ask me what I'm most excited about, it's the fact that we own the space of redox right now.
A health technology so unique and cutting edge that it is transforming health at a foundational level and changing lives all over the world.
I started using the product and I could see that it was real, it was a real deal.
And the way it changed my life was absolutely mind-blowing.
I see it was something truly special, it was unique.
It has had tremendous impact on my life.
You know, sometimes you just have that kind of feeling that you're just going to take a leap of faith, and that's what I did.
And that became a defining moment where I started sharing it with everyone.
Life-changing. I mean, it gave me my life back. In one word, it's profound.
A technology that empowers the most basic building blocks of your body to thrive. ASEA Redox.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I am super excited for this one. I can't wait. And if you don't know us by now, I am Hillis Pugh along with
Rebecca Gregory here. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Cosmic Insight. And today, Hillis, share with us who's joining us today to tell his miraculous story of his healing and what he's doing now in the world to help assist everyone heal and shift and change.
I am super duper excited to introduce our guest for today. And as an example of possibility, Michael Lumen encourages others to awaken the body's natural healing abilities through focused intention. After experiencing his own personal miraculous healing in 2015, Michael began sharing with the world how to tap into the individual source of energy that is available to us all. His foundational principle is that when we apply limitless belief to life, we open ourselves up to endless possibilities. He believes that if we choose to operate in the moment, in the present moment, we can experience true emotional and physical healing. Michael sees miracles happen in the lives of those he helps. In his regular virtual group healing sessions, he's offered direction for all who seek to live in perfect harmony with their mind, body, and spirit. Love that. And Michael, such an honor to have you with us today. Thank you and welcome to the show.
Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Michael, you know, you talk about this amazing, miraculous healing journey, this personal journey that happened in 2015. And this is what I feel is part of your purpose, is to share this with other people. So can you tell us a little bit about this personal journey that happened in 2015? What happened? What was the thing that needed to be healed, and how did you go about healing that?
All right. So I'll start with the event kind of itself, and then I'll go back and just share a little bit about what kind of led up to that. But, You know, in the moment, I mean, this is what was happening in my life at the moment. I had an 8.5 millimeter protrusion in L4, L5 in my back. I had been in pain for 2.5 years. I had just had surgery, only to re-herniate the same disc. And then I found out that not only did I still have a herniated disc, or did I re-herniate the disc in my back, but I also had torn labrums and bilateral impingements in both hips. And the pain that I'd been experiencing for 2.5 years had more to do with my hips than it did with my back. And so the hip surgeon wanted me to have surgery on my back again and then spend 6 months to a year getting in shape before he would operate on my hips. So in a moment of feeling as if I was out of options, I went out of town. I hiked up to the Deschutes River. I put all my pain in the rock. I threw the rock in the river and I healed instantly. Like, wow. Literally one moment I had all these things, the next moment I didn't. One moment I couldn't walk upright, the next moment I was walking normal. But what really shifted in that moment was the moment before I looked back, I saw everything in my life I wanted to change. Like, I wish I hadn't been addicted to drugs for 10 years. I wish I hadn't spent 2 years in prison. I wish I wasn't going through a divorce. Like, all that stuff. I wish I would have played college athletics. Like, all those things that I wanted to change, the next moment I didn't want to change anything. So in that moment, not only did I have a physical healing experience, but I also had a change of heart. And the change of heart is what allowed me to move forward in a healed way.
You know, and that's amazing. I just want to back up for a minute because just for everyone who's watching this, because everything that you didn't want, everything that no longer served you in your highest good and highest purpose, you put all that energy, all those emotions, all that thought, all those feelings into this rock. And you said, I'm done with it, and threw the rock in the lake, in the river.
But the moment I thought that I was putting everything into the rock was the moment I realized the rock didn't take the pain. Because the pain's all been accounted for anyway. Like, everybody is already perfected. We're just choosing not to live perfectly mostly because of everything that has happened. Because when I looked back the moment before, my life didn't make sense that it could be perfect, because look at all the stuff that I've done, or all the things I've done wrong, or all the things I missed out on, or all that stuff. The rock just allowed me to let it go and to have the greatest of experiences.
And it sounds to me, what you're saying, this change and that shift with the rock, it wasn't about that. It was almost like you allowed yourself, and this is just from my point of view, from listening to it, you allowed yourself to go to that space of almost neutrality, where your world was from behind was perfect the way it was, even though you had done all these things to let yourself go from everything that was. Is that, did I hear that correct?
So, leading up to that, so I've had 7 right knee surgeries, 2 left knee surgeries, 2 broken ankles, a torn quad, 2 torn hamstrings, all this stuff, right? Where the doctor said it was.
How are you even walking?
Well, because all that stuff's in the past anyway. No longer affects me because I choose to be different. But all those injuries that I assumed were sports, in about 2011, 2012, after my 6th right knee surgery and my 1st left knee surgery, I started thinking, wait, something other than sports is happening here. Because there's a lot of people that play sports that don't have the same injuries. You know, my mom would have said, oh, it's because you go 110% all the time and you need to slow down a little bit. But there's a lot of people that go 110%, right? So I started to understand that there was more to injuries than just the injuries themselves or sports themselves. So I started studying, you know, energies and frequencies and vibrations and that kind of stuff. And I was even making performance patches for athletes where I programmed them with specific frequencies. Mm-hmm. And so I'd already got to the point to where I knew I could program a rock, let's say, with 7.83 hertz, and then I could muscle test somebody with it, the same as with like a power band bracelet or whatever. But all those things, I really was not willing to allow it to work in my life because of all the stories that I had created about my life. So I knew I could program the rock. I knew I could put my pain in the rock because I'd already practiced programming a rock with energy. But the rock just allowed me to let it go because I'm highly empathic. I've operated very sympathically for most of my life. When my life started going the way that I didn't want it to, I thought I had to take everybody's pain in order to give my life meaning. So all those things that were happening to me were just a result of disharmony. Sports put me in a position to injure myself. Disharmony is what weakened myself so that I was in a position to be injured. The moment that disharmony shifted was the moment that all of that changed.
I love that.
The most amazing thing that happened through that experience, besides the change of heart and the physical changes, was in that moment, I realized that I could focus my intention on others and others could heal instantly as well. And moving forward, that is what allowed my experience to stay real. Because had I not had the change of heart, had I not started helping people, I could have gone right back to who I was the moment before. And that's one of the biggest things I show people is as soon as you feel better, do better things, right? Because healing is about second chances or about miracles or about getting out of whatever has happened in order to have the greatest of experiences, right? Mm-hmm. I now see everybody as perfect, right? And I don't even go around saying that I necessarily heal people. I'm just an example of what people are already capable of because it's already happened. Whether you want to use the Christ model or the quantum model where all possibilities exist in the quantum field, like we really are all perfected. Because of things that have happened up to this point, we don't think that we can live perfectly. I get out of my head and into my heart so people can experience more perfection. Sometimes I have to point out to them how perfect they are so they realize it. Because when somebody hasn't been living perfectly for a long period of time, they don't realize how perfect they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? But right after my healing experience, the world like changed. Like one moment it looked one way and the next moment it looked totally different. Like, so the day before I tried to paddleboard across on the Columbia River with my kids, I couldn't even stand up on a paddleboard. After my experience, I drove back to Portland. I paddleboarded across the Columbia River and back. And the Columbia is huge. It's like a half mile each way. Right. So I knew something had changed.
So you talk about, you know, in how this was instantaneous for you. Because you understood in that moment of what happened, what occurred, and everything that led up to the moment for you to really understand that I have the ability to come back into harmony with myself, to come back into the well-being that is truly me, to come back into the space of perfection. And so after you made this choice to heal instantaneously, what started showing up for you to recognize that this happened, that this was instant for you?
Yeah. Well, in the moment, I don't know what I realized. In the moment, I don't even know if I made a choice. I just was in a place where I felt as if I was out of options. So if there's only two options, one's to no longer be here and the other's to be perfected, I chose perfection. But really, I didn't choose it as much as I was willing to let everything go in order to have the greater experience. Like everything that had, like the rock wasn't just necessarily like for the pain, the rock was for everything that had happened up to that point. Right, it wasn't just the pain that I was done with. I was done with all of it because I no longer felt as if there was much purpose to my existence. In that moment when I put the pain in the rock and everything shifted physically, was the moment I realized how much purpose my life had, because everything that had happened up to that point put me in a position to have the greatest of experiences. But it also allowed me to move forward more in line with my purpose, because now I could really help people. Because before, I wasn't really helping anybody. I just was convincing myself I was doing something so I had some value or some self-worth or whatever, right? The next moment I realized that I could be the example of possibility in people's lives instead of taking people's stuff so that they might feel a little bit better. And there's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to take people's stuff.
No, so you feel that moment of almost surrender is what the huge shift was for you.
Yeah. I mean, anytime we get out of our heads and into our hearts, we have a greater experience.
Exactly.
And the heart's not a thinking place. It's just a knowing place. Like I believe we've transitioned from a believing is enough to now we need to know things are enough. Mm-hmm. When we know something, it's no longer a thing. Right. I knew my back was healed because the next moment I didn't question it. I just went and paddleboarded across the Columbia River as if I'd already paddleboarded across it a number of times.
Wow.
Like there was no thinking about doing it. I just did it. It's no different than if somebody says to me, I can't, or here, I'll give you another example. I had a woman that couldn't eat food. It had been 55 years that she was limited on what she could eat, right? So almost 60 years old and was down to 3 foods that she could eat. I focused on her. I told her to go make something she hadn't been able to eat in the past. She made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She took a bite, realized her stomach was better, but her stomach had been better for 5 minutes. The bite is what allowed her to know that it was better. Mm-hmm. As soon as she knew that it was better, she just kept eating food as if it had never been bad. But that's what has to take place in order for these shifts to be permanent. You have to let go of everything that you thought that you knew before that point. So if somebody says to me, I can't walk up and down the stairs, that's the truth. One step might not be enough to unlock that old story, right? Because one step and zero steps in people's mind are the same thing. Like, who cares if I can walk one step? But when I can get them to walk 10 steps and then they get back down to the bottom, they then get to choose if they want to continue walking up and down the stairs. And it really is that simple. Once they make the choice to continue to do it, all the other choices that they didn't think they could do it go away.
It's beautiful. So it's almost like stepping, from what I'm hearing, you know, kind of stepping out the self-doubt about how we function, what we do, and stepping into the truth of who we are, that we are perfect.
Well, if we're all already perfected, then really it's all of our limiting beliefs that keep mm-hmm. us from perfection, or our beliefs on everything that has happened. But time isn't a constant.
No.
Right, we might assume that it is, or we think that it is, or we've been told that it is, or we've been told that everything that has happened plays into what's happening now. Like, we can step out of cause and effect and cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right, cause and effect is what is in the past and what keeps people unhealthy. Is because once you assume that if one thing has happened, that something else has happened, then it's hard to get over. Just like if somebody steps off the sidewalk and twists their ankle. Right? They have to be willing to let go of them stepping off the sidewalk and twisting their ankle. They have to forgive themselves for being stupid or whatever they say to themselves that they twisted their ankle. And then they have to know that it can be better.
Yeah.
It's sometimes difficult when somebody's right in the situation of stepping off the sidewalk to show them it can be any different.
Because it's the truth in that moment. Yes. And so what I'm being guided to ask you is, there's this belief, and you know, I believe it as well. One of the things that I you know, read about and taught myself is that we are all perfect as we are. And so when we are misaligned with that particular belief, what are some of the things that you do to assist yourself, your clients, anyone, to say, to come back into the alignment, to believe they are perfect, that they are in this space of perfection?
So I have found that what I say is not as effective as the experience I create for people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if somebody comes to me and says, I have a migraine and I have migraines every day, they've been told a lot of things already. So for me to say anything other than you're already perfected, or, you know, the stuff we've already talked about, it really doesn't do a lot of good to that person. Mm. That person just doesn't want a migraine. So what I do is I show them that they don't need to have a migraine, and then allow them to do whatever it is they want to do moving forward. Because there is so much information out there already, giving somebody more information isn't necessarily effective anymore. Or pointing out all the reasons why you think somebody has a migraine is not really that effective. Because, well, here, I should probably go back and explain a couple things. Right after my healing experience, I sought validation for an experience that I'd already had. Right? That was kind of an old behavior of seeking validation, right? Because I had this amazing experience. But I went looking for people that had instant healing experiences, and I didn't find many. So I spent a year and a half or 2 years in, let's say, the energy world, right? Thinking that you had to change the past energy in order for the present energy to do something different, right? So the first person that I helped couldn't lift her arms above right here. And I did all this stuff. I went back in time and cleared stuff up when she was 3, and then stuff when she was 5, and then stuff when she was 9, and then when she was 15, and then all of a sudden her arms started working. I realized rather quickly that it really wasn't what I was doing. I was just creating enough amplitude in my experience so that she let go of everything that was preventing her arms from working.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I realized that, I no longer started going back. And just allowed the experience in the moment to be enough for her arms to start working. And then to point out to people that your arms are working. So moving forward, do things different than what you were doing.
Mm, I love that.
Healing should be really simple.
Yeah.
We've made it really complicated.
Yeah, it's all about believing in that moment.
It's just a heartfelt experience that is greater than the experiences that somebody has experienced up to that point.
Mm. I love this, Michael, because I believe the same exact thing, that it's instantaneously and we can heal just like that
I think that we heal instantly all the time, whether we stretch that out over time or not. Like even let's say like the cut on your finger will heal over time.
Yeah, let's see that cut with Becca.
Oh, my cut? Where is it?
Yeah. But it also is healed every moment in time. But when everything is living in that cause and effect experience, it's sometimes hard to override those processes. Just like a broken bone. If you ask most people, they would say, oh, a bone takes 6 weeks to heal. Mm-hmm. I've had bones heal instantly, right? But if everybody is believing in a 6-week time frame, it's sometimes hard to override that, because we're not just overriding it for one individual. We have to override things for the consciousness as well.
Yeah.
That's why some things appear to be more difficult than others, when really it's only harmony and a little less harmony, balance and a little less balance.
Yeah. Like,
everything should be the same thing. We've just put stipulations on different things, right? Like I have a friend of mine that's paralyzed. I can focus on her and I can get it to where she can kick her legs. I can get it to where her pain goes away. I haven't been able to get it to the point to where she can just stand up and walk. Because there's a lot to overcome, not just her own experience, but all the experiences. And her experience was pretty traumatic. because she was walking on the side of the road and got hit by a drunk driver, right? So the experience, the trauma of the experience is so great that it's hard to create the amplitude in the moment for her just to stand up and walk. But it's not a thinking thing. It has to be so real that it's just a doing thing.
Yeah.
She just stands up and walks. Right?
So
eventually, I hope to get there, whether it's just me individually or a group of people, because I think a group can create more amplitude than an individual as long as they're on the same wavelength.
Exactly.
Yep. And so what I'm hearing, Michael, is that you not only have this energy to work with just one person, and that if you are working with one person in the moment, that you're also adding this energy into the collective, which is why, you know, you work mostly in group sessions, because the more people, the stronger the energy, correct?
Well, I like working in groups because I like showing people what's possible in groups. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have everybody's experience. And I wouldn't say that I'm putting energy into the consciousness. I'm shifting the information in the consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I like that. Yeah, shifting the information. That like, feels much better.
It's like shifting those belief systems.
Right, creating a knowing. Because a knowing is when you stop thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking is what's limiting us. Knowing, it just is. When somebody knows they're better, they just do better things and they don't think about whether they're better or not. Right? The moment I had an instant healing experience was the moment I stopped thinking about my back being bad. There was nothing to think about because it was perfect.
Yeah.
And I spent a year and a half or 2 years in the whole energy thing, like thinking I had to do all this stuff. Right, like that's when I was telling you, like that's when I was charging my cell phone in my hand and bending spoons and doing all this crazy stuff. Right, but all that crazy stuff did was put me in a position to know more of what was possible.
Well, you know, speaking of crazy stuff, I want to hear more about this crazy stuff. You know, like bending spoons and charging using your body to charge your cell phone. I mean.
Well,
most people
would
think it's impossible.
Right. So, like I said, right after my healing experience, the world was a totally different place.
Yes.
I saw things totally different. Like, I could see the energy in everything. What's crazy is when I was a kid, I would have these experiences when I thought my eyes were bad. And my mom would take me to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor would say, oh, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. But it would be these moments of like everything was just like this, like not like fuzzy, like 100% distorted, but more vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I already knew that the battery. I'm trying to remember. The battery in the phone. Only a percentage of the power from the battery goes to the phone. A lot of it gets dispersed into the atmosphere, right? That's why it creates EMRs and EMF signals. I already knew there was a way to block that by putting, let's say, a patch on the phone that prevents the signal from leaving the phone, which actually helps the life of the battery, right? And then I also knew that the energy was everywhere.
Yes.
Right? Just because it went from the battery to the phone to the atmosphere or wherever it goes, I knew it was still there. I was already doing crazy stuff with my hands and programming crystals and matching vibrations and doing all this stuff. I just asked the energy to go back to the, well, one more thing. I knew that you could put your phone on a charging pad. So that broke my thinking that you had to plug a phone in to charge. So if you could charge it on a charging pad, then it didn't need to be plugged in to charge, that the energy could go back into the battery in multiple different ways. So I knew that I could just ask the energy to go back to the phone. It took me 8 hours to get to the point to where I asked it in a certain way that it chose to do it.
Love but that. See,
everything has a choice. Like the universe has a choice. We all have choices, right? So getting the phone to charge was more of a allowing it to have the energy back than it was forcing the energy back into the battery.
When you got to that spot where you were able to do that, did you find, how do I want to ask this? In your embodiment, if you are like a different energy within you, almost like a commanding type of energy or a different type of, you know what I mean? So when you got to that space, you were in this different energy container to allow that to happen or open to that space for that instantaneously.
Well, it's hard to know exactly because those experiences, even though they lasted like 8 hours, but it felt like just moments in time. Right. So it's hard to even understand what happened in those experiences. What was the most important thing was that the experiences happened. So knowing that something is possible that the moment before you didn't think was possible creates more possibilities.
And so was that the same thing or the same mindset that you had when you decided that you wanted to bend the spoons with your energy?
Yeah. And I don't, like I said, I don't think that you're bending the spoon. I just think you're coming to the spoon with enough unconditional love and you're allowing it to be something other than it is. But the spoon can be anything it chooses to be. The spoon is just as bent as it is firm.
Yeah.
It's not as, the most difficult part of it isn't when you're getting to the point to where it starts to bend. It's when it's bent that it's difficult. Because that's when reality really shifts. Because then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, if this is possible, what else is possible? And it's more of a representation of how we are in general than just the spoon, right? We do the same thing. As soon as we start to feel perfection, we put the brakes on because we don't think that we're capable of perfection or we don't think that we're worthy of perfection when it's right there every moment. So there's times, let's say, Rebecca, let's say you say my back hurts, okay?
Say, do you feel it?
Well, I don't. I might have said something else if your back didn't hurt. Does your back really hurt?
Yes, it does, actually. It's a little sore. Right.
So this, I'll use you as our example then. Okay?
Okay,
so on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say your pain level is?
Right now, it's actually probably a 4. It's really aching right now, a 4 to 5.
All right. Okay, so just relax for a second. And just so you know, relaxing isn't a requirement. I just say relax because I don't know what else to say. But really, I'm just saying relax because we're just going to have an experience.
All right.
All right, what do you notice now?
It's decreasing and I feel like a wave coming up through my back like this.
Okay. So now on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say?
It's going down to about a 2.
All right. So relax again. All right. How about now?
It's gone now.
Okay.
I'm healed.
you were already healed. You just realize you are now.
Yes.
So the sensations that you were feeling or the experience that you had, you were doing this curvy thing, right? All happened after perfection was present.
Exactly. I can relate to your story with saying the back pain and stuff, because I've had surgery on my L4, my L5, and the hips. Yeah. And your story, I mean, some things that happened to you, I've experienced as well with the knees and everything. So that was just very interesting. Yeah.
So, Michael, this...
when I was focusing on you, I really wasn't focusing on you. In that moment, I was just getting out of my head and into my heart so that you could have the greatest of experiences. But I held that space until you knew that your back was better, even though your back was better that entire time.
Exactly. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I love that. Thank you for that, Michael. And so just want to move into this other space, because we understand how we can connect to the perfection of the physical space. But those who have endured, you know, emotional trauma, you know, in the feeling space, how does that translate into the new level of perfectionism?
Well, it's all kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you say I'm feeling sad, there's a bunch of different reasons why you're feeling sad. I just get out of my head and into my heart and show the person that they're not sad anymore, and then allow them to choose to be not sad moving forward. It's all the same. Even with her, let's say with the back, mm-hmm. Who knows if it was emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, all that stuff. If you just come into the situation with enough unconditional love, all the emotions switch. All the physical stuff switches. Like, it is a permanent healing, right? But we no longer have to go back and look for all the reasons, because the reasons are what are preventing us from having the greatest of experiences, not what unlocks it for us or allows us to have the greatest of experiences. But let's say if fear is on this side and unconditional love is on this side, unconditional love changes this to nothing. Like, this becomes unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you come into a situation with enough unconditional love, everything shifts.
Yeah. And so, which is interesting, because what I am being guided to ask you in this space is that, you know, you talked about whatever the reason may be, whatever the reason why someone is sad, or whatever belief that the person has that's holding them in this place of sadness, what if the belief is also moving into the space of, well, this is my life lesson. I'm supposed to learn this. And if I don't learn this, and if I don't feel like this, then I'm not going to learn what I need to learn. So I have to feel this way. And so it just goes down this pathway personal belief.
I come across that all the time. And I tell the person that the lesson was learned the moment the experience happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You don't have to relive it over and over again until you learn the lesson. The lesson's already learned. You just don't realize the lesson because you're holding on to the experience.
Yep. And they have to let go of the experience.
That locks you in a loop.
Right. I show people they're much better than what they thought, and then allow them the space to do whatever they choose to do moving forward. So just like the woman in the sandwich, right? We didn't heal her gut with probiotics or prebiotics or a gut restore or any of that. We just showed her that her gut was already perfect. Then she gets to choose moving forward how she wants to be. She gets to choose how she wants to eat, what she wants to eat, if she wants to take a prebiotic or a probiotic or do all that stuff. It's totally up to her, right? But this is about second chances. Mm-hmm. If the moment before somebody doesn't think they have a chance and they have to just keep doing what they're doing, or I guess another way to look at it would be, if you think you know all the things that you need to do but yet haven't been able to do it, a second chance allows you to do all the things you know to do without the baggage of the past.
Yeah.
Right, because there's times when people say, yeah, I know I need to exercise, or I know I need to eat healthy, or I know I need to do this, right? But in those moments when they're so far away from that, it seems overwhelming to even get to that space. So if somebody says, well, if I could just walk up and down the stairs, my life would be different. Then I show them, here, you can walk up and down the stairs. Now make sure you make your life different.
Yeah.
And each moment we have the opportunity for a second chance. But we don't have to wait till the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year. Like, each moment. Right? You want to have a second chance? Well, let go of all the other ones and just step into that moment.
So living in the now, in the moment you choose to live by.
Yeah. And not to get too wrapped up in everything that you think that you know. Because most of the things that we think that we know prevent us from having the greatest of experiences.
Exactly. Yeah, I had a teacher one time, and she used to always say, nothing happens next.
You never said told me that before. I love that.
This came up today.
Yeah.
And speaking of nothing happening next, you know, it's in this belief system so that we have created for ourselves and also in the collective space. And so what are some of the things that you can, you know, gift to our audience in this moment to say, hey, you can do this for yourself now to help them to be present, to help them to understand their limitless capabilities?
Yeah. Well, for me, how I stay in that space is by getting out of my space and helping other people. It's so much easier for me to help or for me to heal myself helping others than it is for me to sit around and try and heal myself. Because I know all my stories. Right. But now I know that all my experiences have put me in a position to help people. So I can utilize all that as an experience for others. So all the pain I've suffered, all the misery, all the heartache, all the stuff is actually all the things that I use to allow somebody to have a greater experience.
I love right? that. Like
in the beginning, there was a woman that had a sty in her eye. I wanted it out of her eye so bad that I put it in my eye. And it took me 8 hours to get it out of my eye. So again, I had some experiences right in the beginning where I realized that's not the way I want to do this. Right? And then I also realized that the sty doesn't need to be in anybody's eye because it's already accounted for. So me wanting someone to get better is different than me allowing them the space to heal themselves. Exactly. Or allowing my example to be enough.
Exactly. And so what's coming to my awareness is as we step into this new space of limitless capabilities to own our inherent abilities, our inheritance of who we truly are, is that we are now stepping into creating newness for ourselves, new experiences. And with these new experiences, we are shifting the collective consciousness into these new experiences. When you say that's also about in alignment with what's happening when you work with individuals or in groups?
I might not even say new experiences. I might just say greater experiences, because everything is based off of something. Like nothing happens that's new. It might just be we haven't experienced it yet because we haven't been willing to let go of everything in order to have the greatest of experiences. But that's why healing can be super simple and super quick, because everybody's already perfected. Like we're not having to heal people in the moment. We're just showing them that they're already perfect. That's a lot easier than healing people.
Yeah.
Healing people takes time and a ton of energy. You might be able to get away doing one at a time or two at a time, but you can't heal 10,000 people at a time. Right? If you're healing,
we need a whole group of people for that one.
Yeah. Or if you're analyzing people and reading people, if you want to help a larger group of people, you don't have the time and space to analyze and read them and try and point out all the things that are wrong. So why not just hold the space of knowing that everybody is perfect and allowing them to step into that perfection?
I love that.
I would say it's probably not even as much of an energy exchange as what we, it's just a consciousness. It's just a place. It's a way of being. Right?
Exactly.
When we get out of our head and into our heart, miracles happen.
Yeah.
It's just being in our truth of who we truly are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love
that space.
Yeah. You know, and I think as people who do this professionally, I think there's this desire of wanting everyone to be in that space, because, you know, we first have to journey through our own personal experiences to understand what it is that we do for ourselves, and then how can we apply it to other people. And so I feel that part of your journey, Michael, is that you literally learned the simple path, because you learned all the hard stuff. And so now it's like, okay, let's make it easy, more efficient for people to be free of the baggage, be free of whatever's in their way, be free of whatever old stories and experiences they're holding on to, because they feel that that defines them in some sort of way. And so the path that you have opened up for people to be present in the moment, to say, okay, we're here, we're now, and that story no longer serves you. That story doesn't serve you in this moment, because you are wanting a greater experience for yourself. You're wanting a greater relationship with yourself. And in that, it creates a new level of harmony, not just for yourself, but for those who you work with. And then, of course, with others who have access to what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried to make things really difficult my entire life.
We do that, don't we?
We do.
Life is so simple.
I think we're moving into a time, like someone had posted something about, like, we're transitioning from a believing time to a knowing time. Like, when there's so much information out there, believing is really difficult now, because what do you believe?
Yeah.
The best thing to do is just know that everybody's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of different ways to get there, but the easiest way to get there is just to let go of everything that keeps you from perfection.
Yeah.
And stop pointing out all the things that are wrong with people, because there's nothing wrong with people.
And by being in that space, it unravels all the judgment that we hold around everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And we judge ourselves more harsh than we judge others.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it's hard to sit around and heal yourself by yourself, because you know all your stories.
Exactly.
Had I not been in a place where I was willing to let it all go, I might not have had that experience. Had there been a doctor's appointment in 3 weeks that I could have looked forward to, I might not have had that experience. But in that moment, I didn't think those were even options anymore. So the only two options I had was to no longer be here or to let it all go and allow the greater experience to present itself, whatever that was. Like, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I was just willing to have any other outcome than the outcome I was in. And when I was willing to let it all go, I had a greater experience. No different than I was addicted to drugs for 10 years, right? My addiction was probably partly because I'm highly empathic and I didn't even realize it when I was 15. Drinking was the only time that I started drinking after a knee injury because I thought I wasn't going to be able to play sports again. But really, when I started drinking, it was the first time that I didn't have to feel everything anymore.
Mm.
Right. But the moment I made the choice to no longer use was the moment that I didn't have to struggle with it anymore.
Exactly. I love that you said that, because right now, you know, with the youth right now, that's happening all over the, you know, that's a huge thing right now with youth, and because they are so empathic that they having the problems with drugs and alcohol because of that same reason. So thank you for putting that out there, because it's really needed. It's really needed information of knowing right now in the world.
Well, if I was to assume most of the things that we perceive as happening to us are based on our level of empathy or on that being empathic. But really, a true empath doesn't need to feel anything in order to have a greater experience. Like, I don't need to know what your back feels like now to have empathy. That I just want to show you that your back doesn't need to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I would have sympathized with you and said, oh my gosh, your back hurts. And oh, this is how it feels. And then there would have been two of us that are feeling your back.
Yes.
Right. And that's no good either.
No.
Right. I just have to know that I don't want your back to hurt. That's where the empathy kicks in. Because I've already had back pain.
It's not fine.
So I know what it feels like. So
yeah,
now
there's no point of. Yeah, there's no point in everyone suffering.
Yeah, like fibromyalgia, highly empathic women operating very sympathetically. They think they're helping everybody when they're only hurting themselves.
Exactly.
It switches rather quickly. As long as then they choose to be different moving forward.
Yeah.
Because if you have a second chance and let's say you get rid of all this baggage, it's not very good to go out and start collecting bags again.
No.
No.
Right? Just like the hoarder that has their house cleaned for them that then goes out and starts collecting stuff again has not really switched their perspective.
No.
No.
Right? The shift in perspective is what allows healing to be permanent.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
I love
so
that.
The woman that couldn't eat food is highly empathic. She worried about everybody else more than her stomach. The moment I showed her that her stomach was better was the moment that she chose to do things differently because she could see that the way she was doing them was only hurting her.
Yeah.
There are times now, and it's been probably 2.5 years, where her stomach will get a little bit weird, but only because of the way that she's interfacing now, and it has nothing to do with what her stomach was for 55 years.
Mm. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Michael. But where can people, you know, connect with you, find out more about you, and book sessions with you?
Yeah. So Facebook's probably the easiest. Okay. They can message me on my Michael Lumen page. I also have a Michael D. Lumen business page, but I mostly interact right now through my personal page, just the Michael Lumen personal page on Facebook. Or like you just posted my website. I'm actually having to change a bunch of stuff on my website, but you can get some information there. It's Michael D.
Sound like me.
So just find him on Facebook, you guys. I mean,
yes, Facebook's the easiest.
and so, I really appreciate you really taking time, Michael, to really express to people how to now live in the now moment, because all the baggage, the emotional experience that we choose to carry doesn't serve us now. And that could be potentially the reason why we feel what we feel emotionally and physically. Yeah. And so thank you so much for expressing that today.
And I think people should know, like anything can change. Like it doesn't matter what somebody has, because the next moment it can be something totally different.
Yes.
Like I had a blind woman whose vision came back. I had another woman who had been in a wheelchair for 11 years that just got up and started walking. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. And it doesn't necessarily matter what something is. Because
exactly. Like
I said, the next moment it can be something totally different.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing that and sharing your story and being in that energy of that, because it's so important right now for people to open up, to receive, you know, to receive that energy and to live from the heart right now. That's the most important thing for everyone to do, is to live from that space and unconditional love.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in this week to another edition of Cosmic Insight. Be sure to catch us live every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, for your weekly tune-up. And until next time, everyone, keep exploring.
Till next time, Cosmic Explorers. Mwah.